Good morning, all, and John, before I hand it over to you, the chair of the meeting, I just have two things I just wanted to say. First of all, I really would like to welcome Neely to our calls. And Neely, if you wouldn't mind, just have to give you a short introduction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good morning, or good afternoon, everyone. I'm Neely Shaw. I am the new Executive Technical Director here. I've been here for all of about 2 months, so I'm still in the learning phases of things, but I am very interested in the IFRS taxonomy. Previously, I was with the SEC staff in the U.S., working both with the Chief Accountant's Office and Division of Corporation Finance, where we had quite a bit of interaction with the taxonomy. So hopefully some of that experience might be informative here. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Thank you very much, Neely. And there's a second thing I just wanted to inform you of. The IFRS Foundation is moving away from SharePoint to another system. And most of you have been using SharePoint in the last couple of years. Fran will send out a mail either this week or early next week just informing you of the change and what you may need to do. And with that, I hand it back over to you, John.
Thank you, Reading. Good afternoon, everyone, again. We've got four agenda items to get through today. It's quite a bit to get through, but I think achievable. I'm going to go ahead and jump straight into the first agenda item. I believe that's going to be you, right, Adam?
Yes.
Shall we say that we're unmuting the phones again, and then at the end of your presentation, they can ask questions?
Yes.
All participants are now muted.
Okay. So we'll unmute for any questions after the presentation. The first presentation is about the IFRS taxonomy illustrative examples in inline XBRL. So to give you a background about what we produce or what we publish on our website, there are two sets of files, and the IFRS Foundation tax illustrative examples and publish those on the website. They are provided in XBRL, so plain XBRL, and they are provided in inline XBRL. So they are accessible through our website. They are published on annual basis. And those examples are tagged based on the examples from the IFRS standards. So what has changed recently? So we are undertaking a review of those inline XBRL examples, and we are trying to introduce new updated version of the specification, XBRL specification, to 1.1. The previous examples are based on specification 1.0 and were lacking some of the new features of the inline XBRL. And the most important is we introduce a viewing mechanism so we could view underlying data for the XBRL within the HTML document. So we haven't introduced any changes to the content for the examples, but thank you for the comments. There were some comments regarding the typing, or some issues with errors, typos, or scanning issues. This will be resolved as well. So here you have an example of one of our illustrated example from 2017. As you can see now, you can highlight values, and those values, when you highlight and click on it, there is a pop-up window with all of the inline XBRL attributes. As you can see in this version, it's quite basic. What we provide is name values and context reference IDs for those elements from the taxonomy. So what we are aim to publish those files in early mid-December. It depends on your feedback. You still have time till end of today to make comments if you wish so. And these files relate to the annual IFRS taxonomy 2017. So basically we'll replace the existing illustrative examples and provide the newest version of those examples just for the inline. And obviously we'll continue to provide inline XBRL files whenever we be ready with publishing of the annual taxonomy. So, in terms of review, we gave you 2 weeks for the review or technical review of those files, and we received quite a number of comments. Some of them were related to the viewing mechanism, how to improve this viewer, and some small errors that we could fix quite easily. And there were some other comments related to content issues, but they were more related to the typing issues. So basically there were some different currency unit placed in there or other issues. From the feedback I gathered, there are three things that we'll consider changing. The first one is context. At the moment, if I come back to the slide with the viewer, the context reference is just an ID. So we could expand this further, as there were two comments about this. We could provide start and end date if it's duration item or instant, just one date for this element instead of giving an ID to the context within the files. So we could expand this, and the same for unit. Here we provide a unit reference, and there are some issues with units that instead of having euros, it needs to be USD. So we will revise this in the future. The last thing is the scale. The viewer, how it works now, is just picks the value of numeric format, numeric value, the same as is represented in the example. But we would like to introduce the scaling. So basically, depends on the scale. Maybe remove the scale from the presentation and just give the plain value of the element. And there was one major issue that some people were having with the viewer. The window is not, it's freeze sometimes. You can't move the window around your browser. We will consider fixing this issue. And sometimes when there is too much information on the page, in this window, you can't see the close button. We'll fix this in the future version. So these are just rough ideas of comments received. Obviously, there are more related to the content, and there are a few suggestions that we could improve in this viewing mechanism. And by the end of today, when we gather all of the comments, we'll review them and we'll bring the updated version of the viewer. So, do you have any suggestions to improve the viewing mechanism of our inline XBRL files?
All participant lines are now unmuted.
Now,
this is Ashok. So is there any way we can accommodate the definition and also balance type debit or credit?
Yes.
In the context
yes.
Of
there was one comment about bringing more details about an element, and we'll consider including those attributes as well. Thank you for reminding.
Can you just clarify what we're going to do about the close button? I know it sounds a very minor thing, but it's the kind of thing that irritates people. No
sure.
End. Are we going live with this?
We'll have to fix it before
we go live.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. Yes. That's fine. Good.
Any other questions or suggestions that we could include in the viewer?
Vladek, this is Kim Earle at SEC.
Hello.
Hi. One thought that I had was potentially publicizing these examples, perhaps after you've made these the adjustments that you're talking about, making sure that preparers are aware of these examples. But I know you publish them every year, and they're sort of like a roll forward, but perhaps making more attention to them.
Okay.
I think we will definitely do. I think normally what we are thinking about doing is, and we'll talk this through with our communication team as well, maybe we'll do definitely a news release, so alert people that in fact now you can look at the inline XBRL files. And also we are planning to publish the preparer's guide quite soon. And within the preparer's guide now we have some examples of the inline XBRL viewers, so that in fact there are two ways that we publicize that these examples exist, really.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And again, I know that here quite a few members of the IDCG also are in regular contact with preparers, so anything you can do to help us spread the news as well, please do so.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
John Turner from XII here. Just to mention that there's obviously a crossover with the upcoming publication of the sample files, or rather the test filings that ESMA have produced. It would be probably good to coordinate somewhat with them and potentially coordinate in terms of the viewer. Happy to discuss that offline or help out with that if that's of assistance.
Yeah, thank you, John. And you raise a good point, because for the test files, of course, the preparers who have little knowledge of XBRL, or who use their little knowledge of XBRL, they also would really like to see a way of looking at average taxonomic content and tagging. And I think we really have to explore together with XBRL International how we best meet that need. So I think we can continue our discussions offline on this topic.
Okay.
Do we have any other comments or feedback at this time?
Okay.
John, I think we are good.
Thank you.
And you're accepting feedback till the end of the day, right?
Yes, that's correct. The feedback will be considered till the end of today, and we'll collect all of the comments and try to incorporate them in the newest application.
Okay. So if there's anything else you can, the group can get it to later before the end of the day. With that, can we move on to the next topic we can? Just the taxonomy type 10 update.
Okay. Hello, everyone. So I'll give you an update on how are we getting on with the release of the taxonomy 2018. So if we go to slide 3, that is a summary of all the changes or all the updates that will be included in annual taxonomy 2018. As you can see, there is a few of them. I will tell you a little bit about each one of them, apart from the amendments to IFRS 9, because in essence we are in the middle of the comment period, so there is nothing to update you on this one. But I will touch a little bit about IFRS 17, about annual improvements, and also amendments to IFRS 4, on which you probably haven't heard for quite a while, but this is something that we will now need to include in Taxonomy 2018. In terms of the process, we are planning to publish a taxonomy related to IFRS 17 in January, and then in March incorporate all other changes and consolidate those changes for annual taxonomy 2018. So if we go to slide 4, the IFRS 17 changes were introduced with the proposed standard, with the standard in May. We published examples in July, and in September the comment letter period has finished. In October we provided feedback analysis to the board, and in November we were mostly busy with balloting those changes with the board. We have noticed additional error that I will talk to you in a minute, because we would like to gather your feedback on this change in December. As usual, we will ask for your feedback within 2 weeks. We are planning to send it to you either tomorrow or early next week, dependent on how we will get on with introducing those changes to taxonomy. So the comment letter period, or the comment period, will finish in middle of December, and we are planning to publish everything at the beginning of January. So if we go to slide 5, I will tell you a little bit about this change that we would like to ask your feedback on as well. So when we published the proposed taxonomy update in May, we assumed that all OCI elements will be reclassified to profit or loss. But then we found out that even though most of them will be reclassified to profit or loss, there are specific measurements within the standards that will actually not have those OCIs that will be reclassified to profit or loss. So in essence, we will need to include additional elements that will be not reclassified to profit or loss, and then clarify the labels of those that will be reclassified to profit or loss. As a consequence of that, even though it sounds like a very small change, the OCI structure is actually quite complex, because standard allows an entity to show the amounts of OCI before tax or after tax. There is an income tax effect. There are also accumulated OCI, which we call reserves in the taxonomy. So the change is actually quite complex. Now, because of the OCI elements are actually in different ELRs, the presentation groups, there are a few calculations that will be affected by that. If we introduce those changes to taxonomy, again, it translates to quite complex and a bit more than just simple two elements change. So what we would like to do is send you the proposed taxonomy update with track changes of what we would like to change within the taxonomy, and we will send you the taxonomy to ask you whether you think we appropriately reflected those changes in taxonomy. So again, we're planning to send all those documents to you either tomorrow or the beginning of next week, and ask you for feedback within the 2 weeks. So before maybe I will get over to annual improvements, shall I just check if you have any questions on that part? Okay, if you will have any questions, I can also ask for them at the end of my presentation. So hold on to those, and we can talk about all the comments at the end. So now let's now talk about the annual improvements. So the annual improvements we've been doing for quite a long time. We've been discussing with you a couple of times in the past, and in November we asked for the review of the taxonomy files as well. I would like to thank you very much for reviewing those files. We did receive a few questions, a few comments, mostly agreements with the proposed changes. And as a consequence of those comments, we did change the taxonomy files, but not significantly. It was mostly editorial changes. So in terms of the next steps, we actually planning to publish the annual taxonomy today. We will ask for 60 days of comment letter period, so it will finish in January, and we aiming to consolidate those changes within annual taxonomy 2018. On slide 7, I've described amendments to IFRS 4, and as I told you before, it's a quite an old story. We published in 2016 amendments to IFRS 4 that was, in essence, trying to respond to concerns of people that were saying that we publish IFRS 9, but the IFRS 17 will be only effective from 2021. Some people were concerned about additional volatility that will be introduced by IFRS 9 that they felt might not be mitigated by IFRS 17, which will be effective later on. As a consequence of that, the board proposed two solutions. One of the solutions was presentation changes for eligible financial assets. And the application of those changes was, in essence, with IFRS 9. So if entities applied IFRS 9 early, they could also apply those changes. So those changes were included in 2017 annual taxonomy. There were also other changes, in essence, that was allowed to defer IFRS 9 until 2021. That change with additional disclosures that were related to or required for entities that will defer IFRS 9, they were not allowed to early adopt that. And I mean, the reason was probably more logical because it will be a bit silly to early apply IFRS 9 to defer IFRS 9. So therefore, those changes are only applicable from when IFRS 9 which is effective, which is 2018. As a consequence of that, we didn't include those changes in 2017 annual taxonomy, but we will include that in 2018 annual taxonomy. We will not ask you for commenting on that at that stage because we get already comments from you in 2016. Now it's just including the changes that we all agreed on a while back. So that is all regarding the 2018 taxonomy. I guess we are on track and we are planning to publish that as usual in March. We in essence aim to consolidate all the changes that we just talked about. On slide 8, I just wanted to highlight that there are other things that the IASB is working on. We looked at them. Those are mostly IFRIC topics, small changes to amend the standards. We looked at them. We don't expect any significant taxonomy impact on the related from those changes, so any significant changes in the 2019 taxonomy. We also started to look at the a project that we started a while back, but we decided to wait for the post-implementation review to do the fair value measurement common practice analysis in conjunction with them. They received comments recently and they are working now through the comments, so we're planning to start with that project again and work with the staff working on the post-implementation review to make sure that we have a common understanding of the effects of IFRS 13. We are hoping to maybe bring some of the topics for April face-to-face meeting related to that project. So that is all from me. If you have any questions, I will be happy to answer them.
Isabella, this is Ashok here. I have two comments on this one.
Okay.
So if you refer back to your slide 6, and this is a thing I just want to get ahead around. So typical, you know, the annual improvement, you normally publish taxonomy. So if we take example hypothetically, next March, you will be publishing 2018 taxonomy, correct?
Yes, so the annual improvements, we are planning to publish proposed taxonomy update today. We are planning to give 2 months, which is a normal comment letter period, which will then finish in January. We will let you know about any feedback we'll receive in February, and then we're planning to consolidate those changes with the annual taxonomy 2018.
Okay, that's okay. What I'm just getting around to this one, that when you publish, you know, the according to this timetable, more or less every March, you're going to publish taxonomy for that year. So next March 2018, you will be publishing IFRS taxonomy 2018.
Yes.
The people who are filing, all the filers, their fiscal year end, which is 2017, what taxonomy do you think they should be using, 2017 or 2018?
I think, Ashok, that is a difficult question for us to answer, really. I think it really depends on the regulator who says, okay, what particular taxonomies can be used, really. So I don't think I can comment, answer your question, really, even of what that you think they should be using, really. So, sorry.
Okay. So by on that annual improvement, here is another point to consider. It may be not appropriate right now, but I'm just using word consider. Because this is the first time people are filing in a bulk, so therefore there are so many going to be like a custom tag. What action or step we going to take, ISB, to review those extended tags, which is normally going to be filed roughly about next March, April time to SEC, who's going to be using IFRS accounting method. What step are we going to take to accommodate, you know, the from custom tag into the standard tag?
Very timely question, because in fact this is something that we are just starting to explore ourselves, Ashok. And as you know, our general policy will continue to be, if there are really common practice elements, really elements that are reported by a large majority of filers, then we will include them within the taxonomy. However, there still remains that there are quite a few of disclosures which may either not be IFRS specific or which are very entity specific, which we are not going to include in the taxonomy, and our policy remains to see, especially for the extensions, if there are better ways to make sure that the extensions are still usable for investors. Now, the exact, so far regarding the first point for common practice analysis, we have looked very much at internal analysis ourselves. So we did the empirical analysis ourselves. Of course, from the moment like a large volume of filings become available in an electronic format, we will start looking at how can we analyze these electronic filings better, so really to do our common practice analysis more efficiently. Now, this is a topic that we have just started to discuss ourselves within the team. So at this moment in time, I can really not give you clear, solid answer of how we are going to do it. I think when we are a little bit more further in our discussions, maybe this is a topic that we can bring to the ITCG, either as an just purely informational, or if there are particular areas where we may want to seek your feedback, then we'll seek your feedback at this time. But unfortunately, that's all what I can say at this moment in time. We haven't forgotten about it, but I can't give you clear answers yet.
Thank you, and I will shut up.
That's not what I meant. Ashok, thank you.
I think that's a good exercise to undertake probably after April 30th of 2018, after the U.S. filings are, for the most part, in. And I would just say, plan, you know, something to think about ahead of time, plan fair amount of time for that exercise, because it will, you know, it's not going to be a quick 1 week thing to do. It'll be a bit longer.
Thank you, Lou.
Maybe this is Mike Willis, quickly. We would plan to provide to the ISB a file, a data set of the extensions that we are receiving for that time period, probably, you know, April through June. And so we try to get it to them probably, I'd say, towards the end of that quarter.
Very good. I'm actually preparing for my company all the extended tag we have used. So thank you, Mike. That is appreciated.
Yeah. And also, Ashok, I would say thank you as well for you to, for your company to prepare that as well. And even if you can see some kind of commonality within these extensions, which you want to highlight to us rather than a role file, we will be very much happy to receive that as well.
Oh, it will be a pleasure.
Thank you.
Do we have any other comments? So, Rita, can we move on to the next up? I believe that's for the review, right?
Absolutely. Can I use this one to move it? Okay.
No.
Okay, then I'll let you do it.
Just like that.
Okay.
Shall I just put it in present
okay.
mode?
Okay. All participants are now muted.
Okay. This is just a little bit of background as to why we are really preparing a Preparer's Guide. Look, the trustees of the IBRES Foundation in May 2016 last reviewed the IBRES taxonomy strategy. And this strategy identified, amongst others, improved implementation supported FAIR as one of our key strategic objectives. And it's quite logical to understand why, because if you provide more guidance and if you provide better implementation support, hopefully that will result also in better quality tagging, which in turn also makes it more likely that investors will be using the data. Now, Vladek already talked about the fact that we have been working on inline XBRL, so to make two prepares and two users, the tagging and the IBRES taxonomy content, more visible. Now, also for good tagging really means that at a minimum you have a good understanding of the IBRES taxonomy. So we started a project early 2007 where we really wanted to provide an additional education material specifically aimed at preparers, and we have called that the Preparer's Guide to Using the IBRES Taxonomy. Now, this guide is not new to you. We provided you with a draft, and I would say like still quite preliminary version of this guide at the June meeting in 2017. And at that meeting, you provided us already with some comments, and now today I really want to talk you through, okay, where do we currently stand with the guide, and how did we take into account some of the key comments you provided us at that time. Now, before we start, I just want to highlight again a little bit what are the aims of this guide. And I really want to emphasize that this aim, at this moment in time, the guide is general in nature. So what we are not, this guide will not include is specific guidance on how to use specific elements to tag specific IFRS disclosures. We may consider at a later time if we need to provide additional guidance for particular areas of the taxonomy that are difficult to understand to prepare. But at this moment in time, we really focus more on general things. And so what we really want to achieve is to say really the guide we want to answer general questions preparer may have. This is based on what we have heard, this is based on what we think preparers may want to ask, and this is even based on what we have heard through some of these XBRL US webinars which were organized for the IFRS taxonomy. So this guide will answer questions very simple. For some people, it's just a simple question. Okay, what is a taxonomy element? And what is a taxonomy access? And how can I use this? Because for all of us, that seems to be very simple and basic. But for many preparers, this is really not that simple and basic. Yeah. There are also questions in from, okay, we always tell you need to use it. You need to look at the accounting meaning of an element to tag accurately. Now, what does that mean, accounting meaning? And how can a preparer understand accounting meaning? Also questions about where can I find elements to tag primary financial statements? So that's the first thing of things. So really aim is to answer general questions we have heard. The second aim is also to address any possible misunderstandings we have heard. And a really common misunderstanding that we have heard is that some preparers think they cannot use an IFRS taxonomy element if the embedded presentation and calculation, which is within the taxonomy, is not an exact match to the presentation and calculation within their set of financial statements. Like, I've heard the preparer mention, I cannot use your tax for operating profit because within your taxonomy, you put in like administrative expenses within the calculation for operating a profit, and I do not disclose administrative expenses, therefore I have created an extension element. So we really want to emphasize very strongly, look, this is a misunderstanding and please do not do this. Now, so in the next couple of slides, I'm going to give just focus on a few of the key points you have given us feedback on, not everything, unfortunately, because that would be too much time. One of the comments you gave us is that we really, the guide should look a little bit more at extensions and the use of extensions by preparers and investors, and provide a little bit more, I would say, like guidance as to how extensions should be used or not used. Now, we in our guide, we have provided some general things that we say, look, okay, we probably think that the content of the guide is only common practice, so entity-specific disclosure will exist, yeah, our guide is not exhaustive, yeah. We also have given some guidance that extensions can be used as one of the means a filing agent can say you have to address entity-specific disclosures. We also have gone as far as to say, look, do not use an extension if an element exists in the taxonomy that reflects the accounting meaning of what you are disclosing, but that is as far as we can go. Because at this moment in time, really, it's a filing system owner such as the SEC, ESMA, the South African Stock Exchange, who really stipulate the rules as to how a preparer should handle entity-specific disclosures. We have provided in our regulator's guide some more feedback and some more guidance on entity-specific disclosure and extensions, but we did not want to do that in the preparer's guide because really it's very much driven by what a regulator has set in their filing rules to preparers. Then, many of you mentioned, okay, the first draft, the preparer's guide, said very little about text block. And text block is definitely one of the tagging mechanisms which features heavily both within the SEC and the ESMA's filing mandate. So we corrected that. So now in the taxonomy, you will find more information about what are text blocks, the different categories of text blocks, like table text blocks that tag individual nodes. We have given some examples, and we also have told preparers how can you find these text blocks elements within the taxonomy. Another comment we received is, look, can we talk a little bit more, can you talk a little bit more about how XBRL in the taxonomy is really useful for investors? You'll find in our guide some general information. So we have explained a little bit what is a taxonomy, how the taxonomy fits in with the objectives of the board and the IFRS Foundation of better communication, because better communication is really three main pillars. Better communication is about content, organization, and delivery. And where appropriate, we have also tried to give some additional examples. For instance, regarding text block, you find now a paragraph or where we say, okay, text block is useful because text block can be used for document navigation. Text blocks can even use to build your customized report, provided appropriate software is available. What we also have done, and that was missing really in the first guide, is that we have said really good communication is not only about tagging. Good communication is also about the related content about tagging. And related content about tagging can be a narrative disclosure, can be a narrative explanation, can be even a relationship. Because, for instance, often you may find a tag for finance costs within the taxonomy, but finance cost is not a concept defined within the IFRS standard. So to really understand what finance cost means, a user will really have to look at the components and the disaggregation of that element. And in our guide, we said, look, you can use XBRL calculations to look at the disaggregation. And you could even use inline XBRL if you really want to see a full set of IFRS financial statements where the tagging is embedded. Can we go to the next one? And where we have spent quite a lot of time on is to make sure that this guide is really easy to read and easy to understand. And we have involved many people within this organization who really we wanted to review this guide and say, look, you have no really expertise in XBRL, in the taxonomy. When you read this guide, did you understand what we tried to communicate? And based on that, we have made this guide, I think, hopefully much simpler. We have included many more visual aids. We have included flowcharts. We have included more examples. For instance, one of the big problems, and we still hear, is that filers make many mistakes with the use of negative values within the XBRL filing. So we have very simplified the language we have about negative labels within the taxonomy. We have used an example of the illustrative examples in inline XBRL to say, look, this is how you should treat negative values. We have given examples about the fact that you should not rely on the presentation within the taxonomy to understand the accounting meaning and so on. And I really hope you like it much better now. So what are our next steps? So really we plan to publish this guide here in early December 2017. And it's gone to production stage, so definitely, unless something really bad happens, before December the guide will be out and in the market. We'll also do a news release. We may follow up with an additional presentation later or early 2018, so to put the message across. We also really want to say that this guide is a living document. And what I mean by that is that we have tried to put in the guide our best understanding of what preparers may have problems with when they look first at the IFRS taxonomy and where some additional general guidance is required. Now, it's not until I think people are going to use the taxonomy in practice, which is now going to happen in 2018, that we really have a better idea that this guide has been really useful for preparers. So what we really want to do is to say, okay, any feedback you hear, you have yourself, please tell us. And we will try to update the guide in a very timely manner to address any feedback we receive. And with that, that's the end of my presentation.
All participant lines are now unmuted.
Does anyone?
Thank you. Thanks, Rita. You've got publication early December. Are you taking comments before then, or?
It will be until the next version. It's really the guide has gone now in production. We thought about, okay, should we first send it as an additional review to the ITCG, but we thought it was really important that this guide would go out as quick as possible, and the fact that we really consider it to be a living document, so any other comments that the ITCG have, we really would be grateful to receive and incorporate in later version. Also, in fact, the ITCG already had a first look at the guide in June, and where, in fact, we haven't significantly changed the content except the text blocks. Our focus has been more on our visualization, examples, simplification of the language, and so on, really. So this was the reasons why we have not put it to a second ITCG review jump.
Okay, thanks, Rita. Any questions or comments? For other questions, comments for Rita?
Rita, this is Susan Young. I wanted to thank you for circulating this around to non-technical people. That's the stuff that we often miss, and I appreciate that you've done that.
Thank you, Susan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm Rita, it's an advantage. This is Gary Kabrick. And I actually read it this morning, not really anticipating this meeting, because I forgot about the meeting until the pop-up notice. And so I thought, as a preparer, I thought it was very readable. I mean, I would call it whether advanced beginner or low intermediate. I mean, you have to know something about it to be able to use this thing, but you don't have to know a lot about it. Mm-hmm. So I think just commend your team. It was a very, very readable document. It answers a lot, not everything, but you didn't intend to do everything. Mm-hmm. But do think, you know, it does assume a certain level of knowledge, and both about IFRS in general and about taxonomy processes, but it's very good.
Thank you very much, Gary. And I really want to thank the team, because this has been really a team effort, and also our editorial team has really helped a lot, really.
Okay, thanks again, Rita. Larry, we've got one more topic. I believe you're going to take this group.
Yes.
Are you ready to go?
Sure. Let me just put in present the move.
All participants are now muted.
Okay, so the last subject for today is the IFRS taxonomy technical review. So to give you a background, the IFRS Foundation undertook a technical review of the IFRS taxonomy in 2017, and the review was done by external consultant who has really good expertise in XBRL, and this review has been completed. And we, at the moment, we are reviewing the review. So why did we do it? So as you know, there is a global adoption of the IFRS taxonomy in Europe and in the US. So we have decided to make sure that our taxonomy is stable and there is no outstanding issues with the technicality of the IFRS taxonomy. So, and we wanted to have assurance as well, there is a technical integrity of the IFRS taxonomy. So the key findings, and I just want to mention that there was no significant technical defects within the IFRS taxonomy, or I would say that the XBRL, or any deviation from the current best practice of creating taxonomies. We receive a number of recommendations, so mainly more improvements, but not hard errors in this review. So here we grouped the recommendations by their priority, the same priority between 1 and 5, whereby P1 and P2 wasn't there. So we have a few P3s and P4s and P5s. And to give you an example of those recommendations, they're quite lengthy and a bit technical, but when we read the review, it looks like those changes proposed are very minor. So we are in the process of reviewing those changes, and we'll see if there is any outstanding issue that we would like your feedback, for example, in order to change the future taxonomies. Just to give you an example of P5, which is very minor comment, inclusion of documentation labels for the extended the link roles. It's obviously nice to have, but we could consider this feature in the future. So at the moment we are in the process of reviewing it, so it's internal review, and we'll have recommendation next year, early next year. And as I mentioned before, if there is any outstanding issue that we want to your opinion, seek your opinion, we'll introduce this probably in April face-to-face meeting. And at this point of time, I must say the review was quite good, because we haven't identified any difficult or any hard errors within the technology that surrounds the IFRS taxonomy content. And therefore, I must say that any introduction of changes by a result of this review will be very minor.
All participant lines are now unmuted.
Any questions? I know that there won't be much questions because we haven't provided any details, but we can bring more information about the technical review next time, and most likely it will be face to face or Q1 as we mentioned earlier. Thank you.
Thank you, Vlade. I'm assuming there's no questions from the crew. Let's say that's the last of our agenda items, but Rita, do you want to speak to the upcoming meeting? I know that the December meeting, our call was in council.
Yeah.
You could just give us a quick sort of what's coming up. And
you caught me by surprise here, John, but I think at the moment we have cancelled the December meeting because really this meeting was scheduled to happen in 2 weeks' time. Unfortunately, we are not that efficient that we have other topics to bring to you in December. Yeah, we will, again, Q1 will be quite busy on release of the 2000 annual taxonomy. So again, we don't know how many additional topics we'll bring during that period and how many additional calls we need to have. I probably think our first call will happen in February when we receive the feedback of the annual improvement. But it's like we said, mentioned in the past, it's really these calls are to address needs that come at a particular time, and we need to have a little bit flexibility to handle that. Really. Mm-hmm. So, Fran will continue to update once we can, if the councillor meeting or if a meeting will go ahead. And with that, I really want to say to all of you again, very much big thank you for all the help and support you have given us in the last year, and may I wish you all a very early happy Christmas and New Year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rita. And the same to you, holiday season. Any other questions or comments from the crew before we break or finish? No? Can everyone still hear me?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, good. I think that's it for the call today, Rita. Thanks,
right.
Everyone.
You're welcome.
Because I said that I shut up, so there is no comment.
Thank you, Ashok.
Thank you, everybody. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Bye.